Good morning, everyone. This year is dedicated to two people, my father, Hareini Kaparat Mishkavo, Tzvi Meir ben Moshe Yonatan, as well as to the memory of my now late Rebbe, it's hard for me to say that, Rav Binyamin Yehuda ben Tzvi, that passed away a week ago. He was my first Rebbe in yeshiva, and I believe that the method in which I give a shir is following his method. And that is to give a good shir as much as possible, or at least to attempt to, together with jokes, together with stories, so that you understand it's all part of Torah. However, the content was much better when he gave a shir, not when I give a shir. Last week, we spoke about the fact that there could be a very big halachic problem with everyone saying Kaddish at once. And we ended in that note, and what was the problem? Bottom of your source sheet, page 1.
You can't hear multiple voices.
If you need to hear, you can't hear multiple voices. Or as the teacher said in class, one at a time. One at a time. And that was the ancient Jewish Ashkenazic custom. On the other hand, the Sephardim, everyone said it at once. So, we ended last week with a problem, and many people wrote in to me saying, but what's the answer? Because in this day and age, patience is not exactly something that we wait for. We want a movie, either it's on the TV, or we go to Netflix, or whatnot, and it's there. We want a pizza, we press a button, boom! And now, Israel even has Amazon. For one thing, a cooker. You know, the cooker that your cardiologist doesn't want you to use with a lot of oil in it? Amazon, within a day. So, we don't have patience, and ultimately, many people wrote in, so I want to, of course, not let them continue to be on oxygen. I would like to try to give an answer. Yes, Bruce?
People are singing this song, and you're asking another person, can you hear the words? Yes, and repeat the words right back to you. Why do you need to hear the individual person's words? You've heard the words.
No, you didn't hear the words, because as he's talking, other people are talking at the same time. And the Gemara says that even if you hear, that's not hearing halachically. Hearing halachically is exactly what you're doing right now. I am talking, and you're quiet. I'm not getting used to it, but at this moment, I'm talking and you're quiet. However, when two people speak at once, you maybe could hear them logically, or I heard you say you're a good guy, and I heard you say you're a bad guy. I get it. But halachically, you can only hear one at a time. So if you need to hear something, whatever it might be, Kiddush Friday night, if one person makes Kiddush for everyone, one person, everyone else two ears. That's hearing halachically. The Gemara says that with regard to Torah reading, Haftorah reading, the Ramah added in and paskinit lahalacha with regard to the Haftorah, but says Hallel is different, and we'll get to that a little later.
The Kiyat Shofar too.
You can't have two people blowing shofar at once if you need to hear the shofar. In the Beis Hamikdash, when you had multiple chatzrotzrot, trumpets, going ahead and blowing, it wasn't because we needed to hear. They needed to do that as part of the sacrificial work in the Beis Hamikdash. No one needed to hear it. But on Rosh Hashanah, we paskin that the mitzvah is to hear. So one person per congregation, or one person per person. Okay?
But your example of Kiddush, someone's being yotze you, so of course you got to be quiet.
Right, absolutely. So any time you need to latzeit yedei chovat, oh, we'll get to that. You need to latzeit yedei chovat kaddish. We'll get to it. Good question. Okay. Is your air conditioning working here, or what? Or I'm just hot. Okay. Have the water, please, and we'll begin. Shut Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Eliezer Waldenberg, died in the year 2000 and something. Rav Eliezer Waldenberg with a posek for Shari Tzedek, and as I said many times, to be the posek of Shari Tzedek, you have to have guts, because who comes to Shari Tzedek?
Sick people.
Sick people. But from which sect of the Jewish religious Orthodox community? You have everyone, so he has to go ahead and ensure that if he paskins something, the Belzer Hasidim, together with Gerer Hasidim and the Satmar Hasidim, together with the Litvakin, and what we call modern Orthodox Jews, and you can go on and on, all could say, you're right. So that's a very courageous position, and Rav Eliezer Waldenberg, a Yerushalmi, a Talmid Chacham, who wrote endless volumes of Tzitz Eliezer. We're on volume 8, subdivision Lamed Daled, says like this, bottom of, top of the second source sheet. Thank you very much for the water. Kayadua miyikaro shel kaddish v'to'ato rak b'beram mazaka abba. Ve'en la'arich b'kan yoter. The Tzitz Eliezer says that in order to answer this question, we have to basically go to the fundamental. Why does a son or a daughter say Kaddish for their father or mother? The answer is, in the bolded, Bibira Mizake Abba. What does that mean, Ruvein? No idea. Bebera, in Aramaic for son, or from our perspective, child. Mezake, Abba, he gives, what's mezake, schut?
Merit
to his father or mother. Okay. So when?
Their mother or their soul?
Their soul. Okay. So, why do we say Kaddish? Because we bring merit to their soul in the other world. We once learned around this table how that works. Rabbi Akiva came along and said he saw this guy, remember the story, that was all black, and he says, only if my son says Kaddish will I get out of Gehenna. Well, how does this work? Asked the Tzitz Eliezer. I understand the son does something for the father, but how does it work? And I came up with four different reasons of how it works. And what I'm about to say now is going to be, on the one hand, you'll see some views that say things that you'll say, oh, this is cute, this is nice, I'll do that. And other points of view, you're going to say, how can you say that? That's terrible. That's awful. How can you say that after a person passes away? So I waited till this year, where I'm actually saying Kaddish, to bring this forth, because I didn't want people to say you're emotionally disabled, because you're not being sensitive to the mourners. I am a mourner right now, so I believe I could say this. It's not me, of course. I didn't come up with this. I'm bringing it from the books, the holy books of Judaism, you know, the ones with the Rashi print that you can't read, right? That when they fall down, you give it a kiss. That's what I'm talking about. I'm just representing their points of view with my Brooklyn accent. Are you ready? Okay. Mitch, you got it okay? Yeah, you have a source sheet in your hand?
I'm listening.
You're listening?
Yeah.
Okay. Two ears, one mouth. Good. Should Tzitz Eliezer, the Tzitz Eliezer we just quoted on the right side says, why do you say Kaddish? What does it do for the father? Says the Tzitz Eliezer, Bre'etzim amirata Kaddish, gedo she'omedo mekaddish shamayim barabim. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, how does Kaddish work for the soul? You're Mekadesh, sanctifying God's name in public. What are you saying? Yit Gadal, the Yit Kaddish. God's name shall be great and shall be sanctified. His holy name, etc. Where are you doing that? The only place you can say Kaddish is where? In a minyan. So publicly, you're sanctifying God's name. So when you light Hanukkah candles in your house and you say, Asher kiddishanu b'mitzvotav, you have sanctified me with your mitzvot, you're sanctifying God in your house. But when you put it on the window, it's public. You're sanctifying God publicly because everyone sees it. What could be better than a person saying God's name is great in a minyan publicly? So how does Kaddish work for the father? You are saying you are publicly sanctifying God's name and it gives merit to the father. Up in the other worlds, they say to the father, what a wonderful son or daughter you have. You've educated them to sanctify my name in public. Merit number one. Sounds good.
So is that?
Sounds very good. No problem. Yeah,
moving. Keeping with merit number one, then, is that why being the chazan, or Shnei Tzibur, and saying extra kaddishes or kaddishim or whatever they'd be, matters then? Because you're sanctifying the name even more than when you're just saying the mourner's kaddish?
We'll get to that in a minute. According to this point of view, you have to be one person sanctifying God's name. You can't be multiple people because then you're just part of a group. I'm sanctifying God. I, individual, okay, my name is Yehoshua. I am sanctifying God's name in public. And that brings merit to the Father. They say in Shemayim, look what a wonderful son you have. He's sanctifying God's name in public. He's not just at his house. In public, he wears a kippah in public. He's sanctifying my name in public. But it has to be one person. That's right. Look on the bottom of that. You have to discern. In other words, let's say the Kaddish after Rabbi Yishmael Omer. You know Rabbi Yishmael Omer is? Right, that's the part people come late for, right? Rabbi Yishmael Omer, may the Beit HaMikdash be rebuilt, you say Kaddish. Well, mourner number one is sanctifying God's name in public with 10. Ah, they come up at Shemaim, they say, Mr. Goldberg, your son is sanctifying, my name is public, God bless. Next, Kaddish before Baruch Shamar Nusach Ashkenaz. What a wonderful son you have, Mr. Greenberg, Mrs. Greenberg. They're sanctifying my name in public. Everyone gets it? That's interpretation one. Interpretation number two, the Chasam Sofer. We introduced the Chasam Sofer last week. He says, second from the right, the Ikur Schiyashim Mezakeh Avotav, and Enu Ba'amiradi Dei. Says the Chasam Sofer, I know the point of view that says that the sunny boy is sanctifying God's name. I'm saying, I don't care what he says. But rather, it's not what you say. But the response, Bruce is correct. Ki im b'mashu mizakeh tzibur she'oneh acharav ameinim tuva v'yehei shmei rabba mevorach. And adds the Chasam Sofer, she'na'asahu sir sur la'tzibur yideze mizakeh avotav. Says the Chasam Sofer, how does it work? I make 10 and more people say, Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba. I make 10 people say, Baruch Hu Hashem Barah. Very nice to teach in front of a recorder. But when you teach actual alive people, you look them in the eyes, and they all say, wow, I'm going to do that. Or, wow, that was a great idea. That's the emphasis. It's not the sunny boy saying Kaddish per se. It's the fact that he gets other people to say, Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba Mevorach. If I could put it in my language, the Titz Eliezer said, interpretation number one, it's important you stay in shape, you jog every day. The Chasam Sofer says, you can jog every day, you're one individual. But if you post it on Facebook and you get 10 people to run with you, then you've done something. You do it yourself, big deal, so you're in shape. 20 other people are Jews with arthritis and heart problems. But if you get 20 other Jews to run with you, that's where it is. So the Chasam Sofer says, the emphasis is getting other people to do it. The Tzitz Eliezer says, you do it. But between them both, Bruce, there is one common denominator, only one person. I have to be the actual reason, the catalyst, that they say, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach, Chasam Sofer, or Tzitz Eliezer. I have to be the person sanctifying God's name so it can be a merit for my parents in heaven. Yes, Bruce.
It's just as effective as a nephew or a neighbor, as there is no available son. And they also...
Probably not. I'm saying probably not because I know of the common fashion that you pay someone to say Kaddish in your place. But all the classical poskim talks about the son or the daughter. The son. The story we read, Rabbi Akiva from the Or Zeruah and whatnot, all talked about the son. He said, you can't help me, only my son or daughter. Interpretation number three, yes, sir.
So if it's so important that people answer and you do this mitzvah, if you don't have anyone who's saying Kaddish, shouldn't someone say Kaddish? Because you're making everyone else praise Hashem.
I'm not going to deal with that today, and that is if there's no mourners, do you still say Kaddish? I dealt with that last year. You can go online and find it. In general, the answer is yes. Kaddish is part of davening for the most part. Not every single Kaddish in the Siddur, but the majority, yes. Okay, interpretation number three that Tzitz Eliezer we introduced before brings. And this one's a hard one, so I want everyone to please sit down, fasten your seatbelts, just listen to him. And this is what he says. I'm going to read it outside. He says, why does a person die? Why does a person die?
Time.
Because he sinned. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, and I read it inside. Right? But most people die for sin. Sheikar atam shel inyan kadish nire. Okay, fourth line from the top. Lefi she'ein mita belo chet. No one dies without sin. Veruva meitim b'shvil avon chilul Hashem itbarach shelo yichupar oto avon natiyumutun. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, we're at that time of the year. You can do repentance for many sins, except for one. Or a few others, but one especially. Chilul Hashem. If you do a chilul Hashem, the only way to repent is if you die. So says the Tzitz Eliezer, why do people die? Because they sinned. They sinned, whatever. They got mad at the vendor that didn't give them right change. And they did it publicly. And they had a kippah on. And they cursed. So that's ultimately desecrating God's name. So there's only one way to get out of that one. No Yom Kippur can help. What's the way? First of all, you got to say, you're sorry, ben adam l'chaveiro. But in terms of the chilul Hashem that was done, you have to die. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally punishes the person, it could be after 120 years, but he dies, you say, oh, you see there's really reward and punishment in the world. There's really a God in the world because he desecrated God's name 30 years ago and now God took him back. And now he's repented from his sin, but more importantly, he was punished and repented from his sin. So this is the case you didn't get it. The Tzitz Eliezer uses the most cynical language possible. And therefore, sans the son of this terrible sinner. By the way, terrible sinner means every single person that ever passed away. From Avshomo Zaman Euerbach until the biggest swindler out there. Says the Tzitz Eliezer when he stands up, Omer lifnai tevat yitkadav yitkadesh, klomar mitnachem ani al mitat aviv, ho'il v'shmo shel aviv v'shamayim mikadel mikadesh eidei mitato. So I'm saying yitkadel v'yitkadesh because God, you said that for the desecration of your name, there's only one thing to do, and that is to die. He died. Your name is great. Now that's the most unsympathetic reason of how this works. Kaddish, but I had to bring it because it's in there. Now, just in case you didn't like it, and I understand why, the Gesher Achayim, Rav Tikhochinsky, the gentleman who wrote the Luach, the gentleman that ultimately was the biggest cholek on the Chasam Sofer with regard to the international dateline, if you're familiar with that, the Gesher Achayim, who wrote a book on Avelus, which is a go-to book here in Israel, the Avela says a little differently. He says, when a person dies, you don't know why he died. And you're upset. Why does people die? But when you know that God's behind it, you stop asking questions. You say, I don't understand God, but I understand it's for a reason. In other words, when the righteous suffer, says the Gesher Achayim, you don't know why the righteous suffer, and no answer out there ever was able to answer it. Even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, says the Gemara. But there's a God behind it. It wasn't by mistake. It was on purpose. So because it was on purpose, you don't ask questions. You say, okay, I don't understand the reason, but Yitgadavi, Shmei Rabba, it's from God. God must have wanted it. Why? I don't know. I say, Diana Emet, La Tova Hametiv. But God decided it, and that's it. So the third interpretation is, he died because of sin. God punished him, and therefore I say, God, your name is great. It's reward and punishment. What it says in Shema happened. Okay, it took 40, 50, 100 years, it happened. The Gesher Achaim a little more, from our perspective, sympathetic, says you're going to ask questions against God. It's healthy to ask questions, but you won't go ahead and be upset because you know God's behind it. Maybe you didn't find the answer, but you know God was behind it. Okay? Third interpretation. If that ultimately is the interpretation, what do you say? Can everyone say Kaddish together? Well, we're not. The reason is not to cause people to say Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba. The reason is not to sanctify God's name in public. It's for me to feel good. Yitgadavi Yitgadash Shmei Rabba. God's name is great. He's behind this death. Well, what's the big deal that 25 people say that? God, you're behind the death of all the living creatures on earth. And we'll all say it together. 1, 2, 3, and we'll be a choir. No problem. Yeah.
It's actually better. Well, first off, the Sitz Eliezer saying that, so that's why you say Kaddish. What if someone doesn't have someone to say Kaddish for him? So therefore, his reasoning doesn't always work.
No, he would say that, okay, you don't have Kaddish to say, so no one needs to be, as he says, mitnachem al mitat aviv. You don't need to be comforted because there's no one to be comforted.
Okay.
So
the second question is, Gesher Achayim, if you use his reasoning, then everyone should say it together, because amongst those people, there might be someone who's dying because of Chilul Hashem, and amongst the people, there may be other reasons why they're dying.
Okay.
So therefore, you're hiding the sinner.
Right. Absolutely.
I need clarification.
Tissues, please.
3 verses 4. Number 3, that sits at Tzitz Eliezer. Why is the saying Kaddish? Because the person sinned with a Chilul Hashem or whatever?
The person died because of Chilul Hashem.
That person, that comforts him?
The departed died because of a Chilul Hashem. He finally died, and he ultimately, God took punishment on him, and now he's ultimately been forgiven. And therefore, you say public, see, what it says in Shema works. It says reward and punishment. It happened. My father sinned with a Chilul Hashem sometime, I don't know when. God took revenge, not revenge, God forbid. He took a punishment from him by basically making him pass on to the next world. See? What it says in the Torah is correct. So, you have the whole shul say Torah Temet, no problem.
Yeah, so, but why does the son have to say that specifically in that?
That's a very good question. The answer probably is that the son is the most bothered by it, according to the Gesher Achayim. He's the one that's suffering, saying, why did my father die? Gesher Achayim says, I don't know why, but know that God's behind it. Tzitz Eliezer says, I know why. Chilul Hashem. So it's comfort for you to know. It wasn't by mistake, it was on purpose.
Right. And number 4 is just...
I will get to number 4. We're not there yet. We did 3. So number 1, we said, it's a public Kiddush Hashem by the son or daughter. Number 2, it's a public Kiddush Hashem by virtue of everyone answering you. According to the most of those interpretations, you need to have one person say Kaddish. This third one, you can have 25 people say it because it's not personal. It's ultimately, hey, someone's behind this death. But the fourth reason is the most known, brought from the Arizal. I'm always amazed that when it comes to generally accepted poskim, not Kabbalah, everybody ultimately goes with it until it comes to the issue of death. When it comes to death and mourning and yisker, all of a sudden we're into the Kabbalistic world. So this is the most known reason that Tzitz Eliezer brought it in the name of a book I don't know, called the Churat Shai from the Arizal. And I quote from the bolded lines. The Kaddisha Yatom Atzmo Mitzil Aviv V'Imo Gam Mi Onish Gehenom Acher V'Gam Ba'alei U'Begen Eden Mi Madrega L'Madrega. says the Tzitz Eliezer, and this is brought in the Ramah ultimately, why do you say Kaddish? To save your father or your mother if they deserve Gehenim from Gehenim. And thus, what's the custom to say it for how many months?
11.
Why not 12?
We don't want to believe that they deserve
Gehenim. Right. The most biggest Russia in the world only gets a year of Gehenim. So in order not to make anyone a complete Russia, we do 11 months. And in order not to differentiate between people, which is very important as we introduced last week, that we don't like to differentiate between people, and especially in Avelus, everyone gets the same coffin, everyone gets the same shrouds, etc. Everyone does 11 months. So says the Arizal, it doesn't just save your father or mother from Gehenim, from whatever Gehenim is, but it brings them to Gan Eden. And thus, he says, in Nafkamina, we have an ancient Kabbalistic tradition that on Friday night, God takes all the people out of Gehenim and gives them a Shabbos, even in the other world. So they eat whatever they do. They eat chillin, they eat kugel, they have a whiskey, they complain about the rabbi's speech, you know, normal Shabbos, you know. And then they talk politics, who's going to win, whatnot. And they all say, too bad Bibi Netanyahu didn't come to our little parliament outside the shul. If he would have come here, we solved all the world's problems and Israel's problems. And then, Motzei Shabbos, they go back into Gehenna. So because of that Kabbalistic idea, then it's extremely important to say Kaddish on Motzei Shabbos. Because that's the time they're going back to Gehenna. Let's try to save them. It says the Tzitz Eliezer, name of the Arizal, why you say it on Shabbos? Maybe all the Avelim also get off for Shabbos because they're not in Gehenna. So says the Tzitz Eliezer, well, it's two things. It's getting them out of Gehenna. They're not there on Shabbos, but it's also Ma'aleh L'Gan Eden. What can be a better Shabbos than spending it in the Garden of Eden? So therefore, on Shabbos, you say Kaddish to give them to the Garden of Eden. And all week, it's to save them from Gehenna if they deserve it. So if that's the case, what's the big deal? Have 25 people say Kaddish for 25 different people, saving them from Gehenna, bringing them up to Gan Eden. So according to the first two reasons, it has to be someone themselves. Either they're the catalyst for a public Kiddush Hashem, or they're the catalyst for everyone to say Yehi Shmei Rabba and Baruch Hu. According to the other two reasons, either, we know now that God's behind it for a Chilul Hashem, or we know God's behind it because He takes every living creature. Mi yichyeh umi yamut, who shall live, who shall die, it's God. Everyone can say that together. It's not personal against this person. It's general. People die because of sin, or people ultimately die. We don't know the reason. And ultimately, because of that, we all say Kaddish together, saying, God, you know the reason. And the fourth reason, which is the most known, to save from Gehenim, to bring him to Gan Eden. So have 25 people, save 25 people at the same time. If everyone's falling down a cliff, and you're on top of the cliff, you, Arthur, together with Reuven and Mitch, we'll stand on top of the cliff, we'll throw down ropes, and we'll push it once. What's the big deal? So in my humble opinion, when it comes to this issue of multiple Kaddishes, it all comes down to, how does Kaddish work? According to the first two reasons, one person only. According to the last two reasons, you can have 25 people say it. That's what I believe is the way to learn this particular issue of Kaddish. However, when you look in the classical poskim, they bring, usually, about four different reasons to be mekel on this issue, or not, of multiple Kaddishes. Seldom do you see that they bring these four reasons and say, well, let's think of a ramification. And we brought one. So, up until now is the regular shir. Now we're going to do what's called a limut zchut. What's a limut zchut?
To learn in the memory of.
No, that's leilui nishmat. What's limut zchut? Limut zchut is we see people doing something wrong, and we tell them, "What are you doing something wrong? You're holding the lulav the wrong way." All right, but if you see everyone doing it, I mean the whole world is doing it. Every Jew that's an Orthodox Jew is doing it. Then you have to say, "Wait a minute! All the Jewish people are doing it. What? They're all mistaken. I'm the only one that knows the truth." HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to me in a dream and said, you're the one that I'm going to tell you the truth on this issue. They're all holding the lulav in the right hand, the netrog in the left hand. It should be the opposite. But I get up in the morning, I know and everyone's wrong. That's a classical Lithuanian posek. I'm right and everyone's an idiot. But the classical poskim that are not from Lithuania, they usually say, well, if everyone's doing it, let's try to think why. That's limud zchut. They're doing it. It seems like the Gemara says two Kaddishes, no way, at the same time. Let's try to do limud zchut. So we're going to give four different reasons. At the end of the source sheet, you can see the bibliography as to where I prepared it for. Nothing here is original from me. I worked off two beautiful, beautiful written articles. One was in a book, and the other was online, and you can look at the original. It's in English. and much more clearer than my Hebrew on the page. Reason number one, the Gemara in Megillah said you can't hear two voices at once, but it brought an exception. What was it? I said at the beginning of Shir. Let's see who remembers the beginning of Shir. Okay, go back. Good morning. How's everyone? I dedicate this Shir. Jokes. I said, Hallel, you can have two people say it at once. The Gemara in Megillah says, Uvehallel uvemegillah, afilu asara korin vasara metargimin. You can have a Megillah reading where 25 people read Vayihi Bimei Achashverosh at once. Or you can have a musical Hallel where you have five different Karblachian-oriented Jews with their guitars at the Bima all singing Hallel together. What happened to two voices I can't hear? So if you would have asked me about Hallel, I say Hallel. Everyone says it on their own. You don't need the Chasen to say it for you. But Megillah, that's not the way we do it, usually. Even if we hold the Megillah in our hands, we listen. No? Why? Says the Gemara, Kivan de Chaviva Yahavi Da'ate Ushma. Why do we listen to Hallel and Megillah attentively much more than Kriya Satorah and Aftorah? Because we like it. Hallel's great. Yes. Thank you, God. Let's think about Hallel. We say it on Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Chanukah. Then we say it on Yom HaAtzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim, if you're a Zionist. It's fun. It's terrific. That we listen to. Megillah's great. Our enemies all were killed. The Jewish people prevailed. That's great. We like to listen to that. Eicha, we don't like to listen to that. Kriya Satorah, boring. Haftorah, I don't even know why it's there. So anything that you don't listen to, usually, says the Meiri, you don't like it so much. Or as the Meiri says, as I brought here, Mitoch Shasipur Chaviv Lahem, Notim Leva Leha. If because you like the story, you listen to it, 25 people could say it at once. But if you don't like it so much, you don't listen. The Ritva disagrees. He says, the Chavivile, Yahavi Da'ate Ushma. Chavivile is not that you like it, but rather that it's important to you. So according to the Ritva, is Kaddish important to me? To listen to? I'm not saying to say, to listen. Who listens to Kaddish? There's a lack of decorum in shul, as one avid listener of this shir wrote in. There's a lack of decorum in shul. I won't say who it is, because I didn't get his permission. Wonderful man, really a wonderful man, says, I just finished Kaddish. Talk about the lack of decorum when people say Kaddish. Says the Ritva, that's the reason why you have to say one Kaddish. He doesn't say this, but I'm putting it in his world. Because nobody listens. It's like laning in Aftorah. So therefore, you have to go ahead and say one Kaddish. But the Meiri says, no, people like Kaddish. What do you mean like? People listen to it more because they like it. A mourner, we don't know what to say to a mourner. We go into a shiva home. How are you supposed to start out? What are you supposed to say? So you be quiet till the mourner talks. Correct. We don't know what to say. We really know how to console mourners properly. No one knows the answer to the fundamental question of the human predicament. Namely, how come we live if we're all going to die? So what are you supposed to say? So the only thing we could do is, let's give him a minion so he could say Kaddish. So when he says Kaddish, all of a sudden we think of death, we think of this poor mourner, this poor yatom or whatever it might be, we're quiet. And we have precedent for that. That Kaddish per se, and especially from a mourner, is very chaviv. A Gemara in Masechet Brachot, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph says, Rabbi Yossi was once walking. Everyone knows the story. He went into a churva mechovot Yerushalayim, a house that was basically in destruction, and Eliyahu Hanavi came and told him this, that, and the other thing. And then he told him the following. He said, I heard a Kaddish Baruch Hu's voice. And what did the Kaddish Baruch Hu say? A Kaddish Baruch Hu says the following. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says number one, oh, blessed am I, my children are saying Yehei Shmei Rabbah. And oh my gosh, they could have said much more if there was a Beis HaMikdash. So we see that Kaddish is like important. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu shook his head and said, this is beautiful. Another Gemara we talked about, Masechet Sota Daf Mem, Amud Aleph says, the whole world should be destroyed every day because people sin. I mean, look at the election campaign, everyone's killing each other. The insults back and forth and right and left and Twitter and Facebook and up and down, it's amazing. It's just mind-boggling how much it is. Well, gentlemen, the world should be destroyed. Everyone's speaking Lashon Hara. Well, if that's the case, how do we save every day? The Gemara says, from Kedusha de Sidra, what's that? Pop quiz, Kedusha the Sidra. Anyone? Uval Letzion Goel is Kedusha de Sidra, right? Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh in the middle. Baruch Kvod Hashem Bimkomo. That's one way to save the world. And the second way is, Ayehe Shmei Rabba Da Agadita. And the Gemara brings a pasuk to go ahead and prove it. Well, we hear from it, Kaddish is very, very important to us. Either God shakes his head, or God saves the whole world because of our Kaddish. If that's the case, gentlemen, we listen very attentively. But there's no Gemara about Leining being the savior to the world. So who listens to Leining? We sit down, hopefully we're quiet, and we read the Parsha sheets, or we talk. So therefore, one voice. But Megillah, we all get excited. This is great. Oh, our enemies destroyed. The Jewish people prevailed. Everybody listens to Megillah. They're all waiting for the next Haman to shoot their guns. So, of course, we listen. Hallel. Oh, beautiful. And Kaddish, beautiful, too. The Ritva disagrees with this whole thing. He says it's not I listen, but rather it's so important to me halachically. To latzeit yedei chova like Kiddush, that's what I listen to. But if it's something that's not so important to me halachically, like leining, that it's a chovat atzibur, not my personal chova, if I miss leining, I don't have to make it up, who listens to that? One person. So, reason number one, Kaddish is very dear to us. Okay? Yes, Bruce.
In today's world, you could have a father with no mitzvahs at all, or you could marry, or should one still say Kaddish for someone completely disabled?
And we'll talk about that some other time. I really don't want to get off topic. It's a large question. I don't want to mezalza by just saying yes or no. Reason number two, Limud Zchut, Binyan Sion. Who's the Binyan Sion, the builder of Zion? It's not an award he got, it was a book he wrote. Rav Yaakov Etlinger. Rav Yaakov Etlinger was in Germany. He saw the beginning of the Reform movement. Rav Yaakov Etlinger, in his beautiful tshuva, Kuf Kaf Bet, and I'll read it outside, says like this. In a Sephardi shul, they can say Kaddish together, not an Ashkenazic shul. Why? Read the bolded lines. What's a difference with a chazan in a Sephardi shul and a chazan in an Ashkenazi shul? A chazan in a Sephardi shul is a chazan. He says every single word out loud. How they don't get horses beyond me. It must be in their genes. They don't get horse. What's an Ashkenazi chazan? Ashkenazi chazan, he's, excuse me for the saying, he's a traffic light. He tells you when to stop. And went to go. Stop. Go. The only time he's a real chazan is chazarat hashatz. And then the people don't know what to do. So either they look at their phones or they look at their parsha sheets. It's probably against the normative halacha. But ultimately, Ashkenazi chazan, stop, go, stop, go. So says the Binyan Tzion, you can have everyone saying Kaddish together. God forbid. Why? In a Sephardi shul, they listen. They're attentive. They never go ahead and go ahead of the chazan. The chazan says, "Hodul Hashem kiru v'shmal deil v'amim alilotav shiru lo zameru lo sichu v'chon niflotav." I try to do a Sephardi way as much as possible. Everybody says it quietly together with him. So if 25 people say Kaddish, they're used to that. But in my Ashkenazic shul, says the Binyan Tzion, when I'm functioning in Germany, the chazan is a traffic light. So what? You're going to listen to a whole Kaddish from him? Are you out of whatever's left of your mind? All of a sudden, Kaddish you can listen to. You got patience. But when the Chazan says Chazarat Hashatz, we all know what happens then. So ultimately, the Binyan Tzion says in a Sephardi shul, yes, in Ashkenazic shul, no. But I'll say it in my language. Whoever can have the patience and listen, then ultimately 25 people can say Kaddish, they'll listen. Whoever doesn't have the patience, one Kaddish per person. Limud Zchut number three. Number one was Kaddish is dear to us. We listen attentively, even if two voices say it. Number two, only people like Sephardim who are used to hearing the Chazan say every word. Number three, synchronizing. This is brought in the Tzitz Eliezer in the name of Rav Naftali Amsterdam. That in his will, he said to his sons that ultimately, I don't want you to say Kaddish for me if it's going to create fights. Who's going to say Kaddish? But if everybody synchronizes together, then it's okay. And this is the most common custom in shuls today, where there's a sign, all the people saying Kaddish, they go to the bima. Now what's that all about? Says Rav Naftali Amsterdam, Imamru ashnayim yachad milo b'mila kol teva v'teva as klalalai imlo b'ofen aniskar. He says ultimately that if everyone says it at the same time, synchronizing, then it's okay. The problem will be if he's ahead and he's before. If he's ahead and he's before. As a matter of fact, ultimately, we read that earlier, that was the reason why some people said only one Kaddish, because it became terrible. They knew the Chasam Sofer. I want everyone to say Yeheshmi Rabbah because of me. So what did they do? As they got to Bagalov, Isman Kariv, whoever had the higher voice, they answered to. Or, I see that Arthur, God forbid, he's saying Kaddish with me. I notice he's a bit slow, so I right away jump in, Bagalos are going wrong me! And everyone likes fast davening, so they all say, Yeshmer up! And poor Arthur is somewhere at Bagalah over there. So if they all synchronize, it's okay. Rav Sternbuch, who still lives in Har Nof, one of the big poskim of our generation, he says, ultimately, if everyone synchronizes, fine. If you're in a shul where they don't synchronize, absolutely not. So if you synchronize, there's no problem of Trei Kale. If they don't synchronize, if one person's fast, one person's slow, you should adopt the custom of one Kaddish per person. But if they can synchronize, which ultimately happens in most shuls, then it's okay.
Does synchronize mean try to synchronize, or does it mean synchronize? Because I've seen a lot of times where people are trying, but it's, you know, that little dance.
Ruvain, I just saw a sign that someone sent me, a gentleman from Efrat. I didn't get his permission, so I won't say it in his name. He sent a sign that it says in Hebrew, this particular parking spot is Laha'alat v'horadat Talmidim. In English, for uploading and downloading students. Uploading and downloading. Okay. By the way, they did Google Translate. That I don't blame them for. I blame them for printing it on the sign without somebody looking at it. So uploading and downloading students. Okay? No, I can't blame them because the Torah wasn't given to angels. Who synchronizes? Computers synchronize. The phone synchronizes. You and I, we're human beings. Of course, a bit ahead, a bit before. I'm not talking about them. But in general, we synchronize. Which, I believe, has a nafka mina in very big shuls. If it's a small shul, you can stand there, I can stand here, we synchronize. But if you're hard of hearing, or if your voice is too loud, or it's a big shul, stand by the bima. And the last reason to limud zchut, after saying we love Kaddish, that's the reason why Trei Kali doesn't apply, doesn't like it doesn't to Hallel. Or number two, Ashkenazic versus Sephardic davening. Do we attentively listen like to a Sephardic chazan, or we only like an Ashkenazic chazan, stop and go? And number three, synchronizing. Number four is, who says you have to hear Kaddish? Who says you have to hear Kaddish? There's a Gemara in Masechet Sukkah of Nunal of Amud Bet, talks about the big shul in Alexandria. And it says there, Pamim Shayu Shishim Riboki Yotze Mitzrayim, it was a big shul, even 600,000 people can get in. And the chazan would stand in the bima in the middle. And there was a guy next to him that had flags. And every time they're supposed to say Amen, no one heard him. 600,000 people, no one can hear. Right? Imagine the kotel. A guy stands in the middle, no microphone, and he's saying, Baruch Atah Hashem. Magen Avraham. Wait, you out of your mind? Anyone listens to that? So, the guy stands there, and he puts up the flag. Everyone says Amen. Did anyone listen to the Amen? They know what they're saying Amen to? No. Gemara says, okay, so Kaddish, who says you have to listen to Kaddish? Kaddish has to be said. But who says you have to listen to it? Like I said about the trumpets. It has to be blown. You don't have to listen. So who says you have to listen to Kaddish? So let's say, Trei Kali Lo Mishtam, you can't hear two voices at once. So, who says you have to listen to Kaddish? The mourner has to say it for whatever reasons we said earlier. You don't have to listen. So if you say Amen to him, Amen to him, big deal. The Beit Yosef and the Magen Avraham totally disagree. They say Mikol Makom Tzarich Lechaven VeLishmo B'Fnei Shliach Tzibur Kol HaKaddish Ad HaSof, and the Magen Avraham agrees. So if you need to listen to Kaddish, maybe this whole idea of people saying Kaddish together is out. But if you don't listen to Kaddish, like in that big shul in Alexandria, Amen. So gentlemen, what we said today is the common custom is many people saying Kaddish together. We try to go down to the fundamentals as to what does Kaddish do, son for father, son for mother. And based on that, we said, according to two out of the four interpretations, one Kaddish. According to the other two, two. But at the end of the shiur, I brought four reasons why you can be Mekel on this question. And I have to be honest, in general, the Jewish people are Mekel. Yes, Bruce.
You're walking down the street to a Jewish shul, and you pass a minion that doesn't quite have a minion yet. I'd like to call you for Kaddish. You're a little bit of a hurry to get to where you want to go. Is it a mitzvah to really stop and say, listen, I'm sorry, I have my minion now?
I don't understand how this connects.
Nine guys are about to start the minion. They're waiting to start. You're walking down the street towards your minion.
So why not help him?
Well, they may not be able to leave. I mean, so you go to a shul, you know, you don't go to.
So you're saying you may not be able to leave because you're the 10th man?
Yeah.
And because of that, you don't want to help them?
Well, your minion is up the street also needs 10 minutes.
Bruce, we're in the time of the year where we should do chesed for the Jewish people. If you have the time, stop for 10 minutes. Help nine Jews.
You're going to be able to leave the minion, and then your minion may not make a minion.
Oh, that's different. If you're on the way to a minion, you have to help another. Yeah. We have to deal with that some other time. Mitzvah baliyatcha atach mitzena, we'll deal with it. Yeah.